In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our text is verse 12. Behold, I have given you a wise and discerning heart. Wouldn't we all want a gift like that? A wise and discerning heart for being a good pastor. Is it too much to ask? Could we possess a wisdom to deliver spiritual healing and strength to our flock? Yes, indeed. In the sense that Colossians 3:16 talks about it, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another in all wisdom, and as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Such godly wisdom has a source and a result. It comes from God through His Word, and it yields a heart thankful to God. Today, let me demonstrate how this wisdom is connected to our daily chapel. And though it's in the middle of our morning schedule, and you could say, why is this in the way? This gathering is not just another course. Everything in the seminary revolves around the Word of God. I hope you've caught on to that. We want to equip students, as the aim in the catalog says, with the knowledge, attitudes, and skills requisite for the parish ministry. And we think holistically and in sanctified terms. Listen to goal number one. The student is to display the gifts which the Holy Spirit has endowed him by reverence for God, faithful use of word and sacraments, and the diligent pursuit of opportunities for study and growth, for development of personal qualities and skills, and for increase in the grace to edify his fellow Christians, to serve people in their need, and to witness to all nations, races, and peoples as a person of good reputation. That's only number one, and we almost left nothing out. Now, this takes more than intelligent instructors, learned professors, and carefully selected techniques. This is nothing less than creating something with God's help, a pastor's heart, a pastor's mind. It takes a heavenly power to transform us and shape us into a pastor. It takes the Holy Spirit to make that strong faith, faithfulness to God's revelation, and a desire to serve the lost, the confused, and the sinful in this world. The tool is the Word of God, and you will find that here also every day, in the words of the Bible, in the sermon, even in the songs. And the heart that trusts God's promises will praise God for what He does. We'll ask Him to take care of others, especially those who are in need. So, here we have abundant word, surrounded by prayer and praise, and each Wednesday, also the Lord's Supper. This gathering is not just another course. Let's compare for a moment chapel and a classroom. Now, true, it's pretty much the same people doing both. The place is different, that's obvious. But the more important elements might be compared. Do both employ the Word of God? Yes. Do both call for faith? Chapel, yes. Classroom, yes. And no, since the class demands also things besides faith. Do both call for doing the will of God? Chapel, yes. Class, yes and no. For sometimes there are human demands. Do both have prayer? Here we always pray. In the classroom, perhaps many times, but not always. Do both have praise? Classes seldom include this element. We'll hardly ever leave it out here. Classes seldom have ceremonies that focus on Christ. They might have rituals of their own, but here we have ones that focus on Christ, like the making of the sign of the cross over a human body. Do both have sacraments? No, only the Lord's Supper is here. Our font is located in the entrance. So what sets Daily Chapel apart? It is this, that it's all about the Word, surrounded by praise, prayer, ceremony, and the sacraments. This gathering is not just another course. Now, there's even maybe a deeper difference. When we read and speak the Word in this place, it has a definite thrust. Hear it? Believe it. Other agendas can exist, but that's the core. Let's recall some of the biblical words that teach this. Trust in the Lord with all your hearts. Do not rely on your own insight. Proverbs 3. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him, God. Hebrews 11. God chose you from the beginning to be saved through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth. To this He called you through our gospel. 2 Thessalonians. He who hears you hears me, and he who rejects you rejects me, and he who rejects me rejects him who sent me. Luke 10. Blessed, rather, are those who hear the word of God and keep it. Luke 11. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. John 14. And the Colossians 3 passage we mentioned before, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another in all wisdom, and as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. So here, there's no test, no grade, no record keeping, human measures and records. Here the word passes through the ear to the mind and the heart. It is used by the Spirit to create and strengthen faith, to grow thankful hearts that want to praise and to serve, and to grow the fruits of faith that emerge in daily life and work. Hearing, believing, and doing show forth the glory of God. To God, this is an open record book. To many of us who see you, it's kind of obvious as well. This gathering is not just another course. In fact, it has no demand for attendance. Frankly, it used to, many years ago. Nobody could skip. You had assigned seats, monitors to report if somebody didn't show up. It's a voluntary thing. That's a faculty choice. Why, then, do we find so many excuses for not being here? Think of the priorities and listen to these excuses I've heard or used. I could be preparing for class. They get graded. I could be researching and writing. Hey, that's part of a professor's job. I could be taking care of my kids. You know, parents are supposed to do that, you know. I could be earning extra money, and who doesn't need that? I could catch a few winks. In fact, I could stay up later to study and read. I could work out a better body fit for the ministry. Somehow these priorities just don't sound right against what's going on. We are a community who has set aside a few minutes from the class day exclusively for gathering around the Word to hear, to believe, and to thank God. And if you're a member of the community committed to that purpose, you'll be there, even every day. And since it's voluntary, there's really only one motivation for being here. In a word, Jesus. We know that our Lord Jesus left His heavenly home to become one of us. He took the time to learn the Word of God at the temple from the teachers. The law, the prophets, the Psalms. He went to the temple often in his ministry, and wherever he went, he taught who God was and what he wanted. He made clear that God wanted people to trust in him, not themselves. He wanted people to follow his commands, not just make up their own rules. And for sinners like us, who put the word first, he put the word first and was perfectly obedient in this matter. Not only that, he went to the cross to take our punishment for our rebellious hearts and disobedient deeds. And when we believe and confess his name, God forgives. And God helps us to want to do his will. So out of a thankfulness for all of this, we arrange our schedule for the word. Private devotions, yes. Chapel, yes. Church attendance, yes. Now, this is not just another class, even though we don't take attendance. With his word, God prepares us for what's ahead. And there are moments of stress and doubt and crisis. Perhaps I can illustrate with one that is clearly in my memory. Some years ago, my wife was hospitalized, already for a week. They could not make a firm diagnosis. I came to visit her, and as I entered, the nurse saw me, led me into the room, and told me they had just put her in bed because she was very tired. We went into that room, and there she was, unconscious and not breathing. I was stunned. And as the medical assistance was called, I went for a walk outside to pray. Besides asking for the Lord to heal her, I found this simple prayer entering my words. Lord, you gave her to me. If you take her now, okay. If she lives, I will continue to treasure her as your gift. Then I was ready to face the situation. After 5 more weeks in the hospital for recovery from a rare disease, she came home. Now, there's no way to cram for an event like that in your own life or standing alongside another person. Want wisdom for your pastoral work? Then ask yourself how chapel can be a regular part of your week and keep that schedule. For by the word, the Holy Spirit will shape and mold you for God's service. We can keep in mind also Luther's explanation of the third commandment. We make every day a holy day by occupying ourselves with God's word. In the classroom, in chapel, carrying it on our hearts and lips. This gathering is not just another course. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the